Do you have a favorite day of the week? I do. Mine is unusual. My day is Monday. Monday is my favorite day of the week. You probably know why that is. I take Mondays off. My wife's favorite day of the week is Friday. Now, you might think that's because it's the end of the week. And for a lot of people, Friday, the end of the week, is their favorite day. It's her favorite day and mine, too, because that's the day she gets paid. Do you have a favorite day of the week? So if USA Today did one of those relentless polls that they're always taking about the most popular day of the week, favorite day of the week, do you know what day it would be? Which day do you think it would be? Well, you might be surprised to discover that the very favorite, most popular day for Americans is Someday. Someday. That is our most popular and our most favorite day. Because someday is the day that we're going to get our will updated. Someday is the day that we're going to go to the doctor and have that lump behind our neck here looked at. Someday is the day that we're going to volunteer to serve in the soup shelter. Someday is the day that we're going to get our braces off. Someday is the day I'm going to get the nerve up to ask that girl who sits two rows over whether she would go to the prom with me. Someday is the most popular day of the week. Surprisingly enough, it shows up in this morning's gospel. It does, really, seriously. Jesus is out there doing ministry. And there are all sorts of reports about the ministry that he is doing among the people. And these reports are flowing back into his hometown of Nazareth. And they're wonderful and wondrous. Everyone is excited about him coming back to Nazareth because they have heard about the healings, the feedings, the miracles. You know, he comes back home to Nazareth. As is his custom, he goes to the synagogue. The priest hands him the scroll from Isaiah, and he reads it. The captives shall be set free. The oppressed will be set free. Good news to the poor. The blind will recover their sight. And then he says, someday. Well, actually, what he says is, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your reading. Today is really someday. Because the Israelites believed that someday there would be a day. There would be a day when the prisoners would be set free, the oppressed would no longer be oppressed, that the poor would have good news. What they believed was that one day they would no longer be under the captivity of Babylonians, Romans, or anyone else. But when Jesus said that, and we get the rest of the text next week, but when Jesus said that, people turned to each other and said, "What? What? Today is someday? Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing? Today is that someday that we've hoped for, that we've prayed for, that we long for today. What? What? What?" It is true for us too. Here is that reading. And here are those words of Jesus for us in our own time. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And yet, the people then were not free. There were guards, Roman guards stationed right outside the temple. Roman soldiers who were continuing to make slaves out of Hebrew people, taking the very best from their crops, their sheep, and even their children. How could today be that someday? What? What was Jesus saying, they asked. How could it be for us as well? Because someday, there will be peace in the Mideast. Someday, they will find a cure for cancer. Someday, the world will not be divided into one quarter of our children who are dieting and three quarters of the rest of the world dying. Someday is a day when people will be truly judged not by the color of their skin, but by the character of their conduct. Someday is when religious communities see themselves not as competitors, but partners. Someday is today, Jesus said. Perhaps he said that because the first someday happened approximately 30 years before he read that text in a little town called Bethlehem. That was the day that the angels sang to the shepherds, "For unto you is born today, someday, today, what you've hoped for, what you've longed for, a Savior in the city of Bethlehem." Note what they did not say, the angels. They did not say, "For unto you is born this day a king," nor did they use the word Messiah, nor emperor, prime minister, or president, but the word Savior. God knows we need one. Of all the things we want from God, and we want a lot, we want an end to violence and an end to hunger, an end to disease, but we don't necessarily want a Savior, do we? Certainly not one that gets himself killed on a cross. For crying out loud, how does that help anyone? Ah, yes. How does that help? But more to the point, who does that help? It helps us. Because we can't ever seem to get to someday. Because left to our own devices and desires, we would just as soon be God. We would just as soon decide today, God, who gets fed and who doesn't get fed. Who gets bombed and who doesn't get bombed? Who gets medicine and who doesn't get medicine? Let us decide. We'll make those decisions. And we have, and look what we have produced, a world full of fear. How many of the decisions do we make, the important decisions in our lives, do we make out of fear? Fear of something. There is also a second someday. That second someday was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. For this is the Savior who made a sweet swap with us. Sweet swap was the word that my systematics professor, Bob Bertram, used to use all the time to describe what it was that God had done for us in the cross. The crucified and risen Lord Jesus made a sweet swap. He was the one who was the light that not even the darkness of death nor the darkness of the tomb could extinguish that light. The darkness we face is the darkness of fear. It is the fear of others who are different from us, is it not? From everything to their worldview, to what they think about guns, to their religious faith, to what they wear. But yet Christ's death and resurrection breaks the stranglehold that fear has on us. It breaks it and says that there is a light that no darkness can overcome. And when we hang our hearts on that light, when we put not just belief but trust in the crucified and risen Savior, the wattage of light goes up considerably. The world is much brighter. Someday is today for those who have the ears to hear and the eyes to see and the trust to believe. The coming of the Savior Jesus Christ is God's signal to the world that today is someday, the day that we have hoped for, the day that we have longed for, the day that we have prayed for. And it happens not because we ask questions like what? What about creation? What about the Trinity? What about the virgin birth? What about? It's not about the what's, it's about the what's. It's about people like you and me who have hung our hearts on this Jesus, who trust. And the wattage, the lighting goes up every time you and I make that effort to forgive and be forgiven. It goes up every time. Every time we make a decision, not based out of fear, but a decision based out of the joy that we have in knowing a Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is someday. Someday happens every day when we come to this table. When we come to this table and we come and we are fed and we are nourished. And we know that we don't have to make those decisions about goodness and badness. The decisions we make are about forgiving and being forgiven, about compassion and mercy, about turning up the wattage. And we need to think about that as a congregation. In a little less than an hour, we will go into an annual meeting. We will be looking at our ministry for the future. You know, I want to ask you this question. If we are a light bulb, what's our wattage? I know for a fact that we're doing better than the light bulb in my refrigerator, the one you have to only get light when you open the door. Well, we've got the doors open, folks, so at least we're there. I'm going to guess that we're probably better than 40 or 60, but I don't know. You guess. But the real thing is, what should it be? What should that wattage be? We got to hang our hearts on the one who, when he stood up and handed the scroll back to the attendant and said, "Today, this promise, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," because that is what Christ is saying to us as his people today. We are no less a light in the world. Paul's favorite way is not talking about light, but talking about a body, about being the body of Christ in the world. This is the way to live without fear. It is to live with trust. Trust in the crucified and risen Jesus Christ, who makes the sweet swap with us. He goes into the darkness because he is the light no darkness can overcome. And we are a reflection of that light, of that love, of that grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.